The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Welcome to Enjoying Everyday Life. This week, we'll be talking a lot about hope. The psalmist said, "You are my hope, O God, and the source of my confidence." Psalm 71:5. In the story you're about to see, a young man named Daniel met tragedy head on, making a decision that helped bring hope into what seemed like a very hopeless situation.
Growing up, I feel like I had a good life, you know, whatever. I played baseball for 13 years, you know, and I worked all the time. I started building motorcycles and, you know, and working, you know. I built my bike from the ground up, and on August 22nd, 2005, on my mom's birthday, actually, I was going to work, you know, and this 16-year-old girl made a left-hand turn and hit me head-on. She ran a red light, and no place for me to go, you know. I was knocked out instantly. I flew off the bike, I guess, and my knee hit the headlight of the car, and it just blew my knee out. I bounced off the car, and I flew like 100 feet, hit the ground, and I landed on my right shoulder, which tore my brachial plexus nerve, and now I still can't move my arm, of course. I lost 5 pints of blood out of 7 in our body. It didn't really hit me at first that I'm in the hospital, you know, and I can't walk. And I mean, I couldn't walk for 10 months probably. When the pain actually started hitting back, you know, I'm at the point where I'm taking like 20, 30 pills a day and shooting 6 at a time. You know, I mean, it was really bad. I was so depressed and so, my self-esteem was gone. I had no more confidence in nothing, you know. I was once on the top, I felt like, you know, happy and baseball player. I mean, at 19 years old, I'm throwing 92. But then it all like crashed. There was a point where I'm staying at my mom's house and she had walked in on me, you know, a couple times. And I mean, I've got fully loaded, hollow pointed 38 to my head, ready to just finger on the trigger and everything. I'm ready to pull the trigger. I mean, there was nothing left and I didn't care. I had no hope. The thing I think that really, so to speak, put hope into me, that there was a different way to live. It was my brother Chris. He had been gone for a while. He was in D.C. or whatever working. He had come back, and you know, he come over and he said I was the first person he was looking. He wanted to see when he got back because he was praying and, you know, going to church or I don't. There was a bunch of things that he was doing that I would never would have even thought he would have done, you know. And he'd come and told me about this, you know, and it planted a seed in me. With being in Christ and walking with the Lord, I feel like, you know, it's changed everything. My peers and stuff, they see the change that I had. So the hope that I once had, that seed that I had planted, you know, and now it's I feel it's a big full tree almost. One of the biggest things about walking with Christ and feeling the love of God is you get an identity. You get to know who you are and what you're really made for. One of the things I like to say is God gives us the strength to overcome what's overcoming us, you know? And that's surely what has happened. He's given me the ability and the courage to forget about all the fears and not being able to walk or not being able to use my arm. You know, it doesn't matter what anybody thinks. It doesn't matter how many people look at me. I don't get offended. I'm not worried or stressed out. My life is 1,000 times better than it was a year ago. In my case, I give glory to God because of it, you know, for sure.
What is hope? Why would we take a whole entire conference, especially the 30th anniversary with these many thousands of women, and just talk about a subject as simple as hope? Because it's probably one of the most important things that we need to talk about. To be honest, we talk a lot about faith, but I don't think it's possible to have faith if you don't have any hope. Sometimes we're trying to believe God for something, but we've got a bad negative attitude. And you can't have faith and a bad attitude at the same time and expect God to do anything. Now, I know none of you have a bad attitude. I know that. I know you're thinking now about all the people you wish were here that didn't come, that have a bad attitude, so they could be helped. And you're even thinking, I need to buy this CD for so-and-so. But how many of you admit that it wouldn't hurt you to have an attitude adjustment either? Amen? Now, I've come a long way, and I don't have a bad attitude very often anymore, but every once in a while I get one. And when I do, I have to do the same things that I'm telling you to do. What is hope? Well, I hope for this, I hope for that, I hope it don't rain, I hope. Hope is not just kind of this wishy-washy, vague, well, I wonder if it'll happen, but I don't know if it will, and I guess we'll just kind of case, sarah, sarah, wait and see. That may be a worldly kind of hope, but that's not Bible hope. Bible hope is extremely powerful. It's a favorable and a confident expectation. I want to say to you, what are you expecting God to do in your life?
I don't know.
Just kind of waiting to see. Hope is better than what I have been getting. Now, what are you expecting? What are you expecting? What are you seeing in your mind, in your imagination? How do you talk about your future? What are you looking for? When you get up every day, are you just kind of like, well, another day, just trying to make it through the day? Or are you like, man, there's no telling what God might do today. Today could be the day of my breakthrough. You know, when a pregnant woman is expecting, the longer you're pregnant, the more expectant you become. And so some of you may be saying, well, I've been believing God for the same thing for 20 years. Well, then I tell you what, you ought to be just about ready to pop with expectation. I carried all my children over their due date. The doctor said that I was the only woman he knew that stayed pregnant as long as an elephant. My first child was 4 weeks late. Yeah, the second one was 5.5 weeks late. The third one was 3.5 weeks late. And the last one was almost 5 weeks late. And he lacked 1 ounce weighing 10 pounds. I was really ready to get him out. And I'm telling you what, every day I woke up, this has got to be the day. Today is going to be the day. I'd check everything in the suitcase and dust everything off and make sure I had everything just right. And, you know, every time I would just feel anything, oh, there it is, there it is, there it is. I was expecting. I'm going to ask you again, what are you expecting God to do in your life? God wants us to be expectant on purpose. It has to do with the unseen and the future. You don't hope for what you can see. You don't hope for what you already have. You hope for what you can't see and what you don't have. Hope is the happy anticipation of good. I love that. The happy anticipation, something good is going to happen to me. Something good is going to happen in my family. Something good is going to happen in our nation. God is good and He is doing good things. And hope releases joy. Hope is very simply a positive attitude, a positive mindset. Now, if I can stand here and say to you, have a positive attitude, coming from where I came from, and seeing what God has done in my attitude, then I'm here to tell you that no matter how many negative things you've had happen in your life, no matter how negative your mind might be right now, you can have a change of mind and a change of attitude, and you can become so positive that you won't even hardly recognize yourself. The hopeful person absolutely refuses to be negative in any way. Although they recognize and deal with the storms of life, they remain hopeful in thought, attitude, and conversation. And conversation. So often we say we're praying for this or we're hoping for that. And if you listen to the way we talk, we sure don't sound like we're hoping for any change. We can't be saying that we're in faith for God to do this and then talking about it like it's never going to change. Now here comes something for you to do. We always like to have something to do, right? Anybody can decide today to be hopeful. You don't have to wait for a special feeling. We live way too much based on our feelings. Well, Joyce, you just don't know how I feel. Well, can I tell you something? You don't know how I feel. Right now, my contact lens is aggravating the living daylights out of me. And I got to stand here and preach to you anyway and not bat my eyes all day for the TV cameras. Nobody knows how anybody else feels, but we can't live by how we feel. And the more we cater to our feelings, the more they're going to increase. Because when we give in to them, we feed them and make them stronger. But if we don't give in to them, we starve them, and pretty soon they lose their power over us. Your feelings will catch up with your decisions. Now, let me just say from the outset, we can't do anything without God. That's already a foregone conclusion for me. The first thing that I say every morning is, God, apart from you, I can do nothing. And most mornings, I slip out of bed and I get down on my knees by my bed and I say, God, I'm here just to simply say that I can't do anything without you. I am nothing without you. So when I say to you, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to decide, I'm just trying to provoke you to line your will up with the will of God and to make the God-inspired, Holy Spirit-filled effort that God wants you to make. But I want to make it clear that you cannot do it on your own. We cannot do anything apart from God, but we are partners with God. I love what Reinhard Bonnke says. God needs manpower, and we need God power. And that's the truth. God needs you. And he needs me. And he needs us with a good attitude. He needs us full of hope and confidence and faith that all things are possible with God. Anybody can decide to be hopeful. Well, Joyce, you just don't know what's happened in my life. No matter what has happened in your life, you can start turning things around today if you'll make a decision today. That's it. I'm done being negative. I'm done talking negative. I'm not thinking negative. I'm not going to imagine negative things. I am going, with God's help, to have a good attitude. But I'm here to tell you, there is no promise of God that's going to manifest in our lives if we keep a negative attitude and a negative mouth. Oh my gosh, I was so negative. I mean, honestly, if I thought two positive thoughts in a row, my brain would cramp. Dave and I have been married about 3 weeks, and he looked at me and he said, what is wrong with you? See, we only had 5 dates and got married. We had to do it quick before he found out what he was getting. It was like this. You talk about a whirlwind romance. I mean, whew. And he said, what is wrong with you? You have such a negative attitude. This is what I said to him. This is how bad I was. I said, if you don't expect anything good to happen, then you're not disappointed when it doesn't. You say, well, why did you think like that? Because I had had 23 years of nothing but pain and abuse and disappointment and unfaithfulness and one bad thing after another, after another, after another happening in my life. And that is exactly what the devil wants to do to you. He wants to bring a series of trials into your life to where you begin to think that nothing good is ever going to happen to you. Then you give your mouth to that. You give your attitude to it. You give your thoughts to it. You find some more negative people to talk to, and the two of you get in agreement. I'm not hanging out with negative people. I am not going to hang out and spend my time with negative people. I don't ignore problems. I talk about problems when they're there. But I'm not going to spend my life being negative. You can decide today You can decide today, and you can be the catalyst to turn your whole family around. You can be the catalyst to turn your friends around. You can turn your workplace around. You can turn your school around if you'll be the first one to say, I'm done being negative. Doubt and negativity steal hope. When you feel hopeless or down in any way, you must have a resurrection of believing. And when you do, hope will immediately set you free. Although we cannot prevent negative feelings from showing up, we can drive them away through having right thoughts, attitudes, conversation, and action. Let's look at Romans 12, 10 through 13. Love one another with brotherly affection as members of one family, giving precedence and showing honor to one another. Let me just throw this out for good measure. Loving people just really makes you happy. If you're not happy, I can tell you how to fix it. Get your mind off yourself. Go do something for somebody else. You'll start feeling different. Back to Romans. Never lag in zeal. I love this. Never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor, be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Guess what? Christians are supposed to be excited. We are supposed to be excited. Well, I don't feel excited. Well, get your mind off your problems. Get your mind off what you don't have. Start talking about something positive. Start doing something for somebody else. I'm giving you an action plan, honey. Well, you don't know who I'm married to, and you don't know the problems I have, and you don't know, and you don't know. You know what? You being negative about it ain't going to change it. You may not be able to change everybody else, but you can change you. Amen. We have too much stiff, wooden, bored Christians. The Bible says we're to be born again, not bored again. Come on now. I'm so bored. Just gonna go to church again. Nothing good's gonna happen. Go to church. Go home. I'm so bored. So unhappy. Nothing good ever happens to me. We need some zeal, some joy, some enthusiasm. Some excitement, some smiling, some fire. Okay, but now listen to me. You know what? It's not hard in here. I don't even have to work hard to get you guys stirred up. I can say about anything and you'll go, yeah. But what about when you go home? Did you feel the... Did you feel the mood of the room kind of dip down about several levels? See, if you really want people to think that your Christianity is working, then you stay happy no matter what happens in your life. I think joy is the greatest gift that God gives us. The joy of the Lord truly is our strength. I'm reading a book by Reinhard Bonnke on the gifts of the Spirit, and he said something that just really tickled me. Ephesians 2, 1 says, you hath he made alive when you were dead in sin, not you hath he stiffened. Too many Christians are just stiff with religion. They're bored and grumbling and complaining all the time. You hath he made alive. When you were dead in your sin, the resurrection power of God came and lifted you up. You hath he made alive. Woohoo! Let's go ahead and look at this rest of this scripture. I'm going to try to read it all. Rejoice and exult in hope. Be steadfast and patient in suffering and tribulation. Be constant in prayer. You see, they all go together. You can be patient and not quit and not give up if you'll keep rejoicing in hope. Contribute to the needs of God's people, sharing in the necessities of the saints. Pursue the practice of hospitality. You see how all this goes together? You stay busy helping people. You may have to persevere and be patient as you go through things. But if you rejoice in hope and keep helping people and you just stay hopeful and you keep helping people, there is no devil in hell that can keep you from having what God wants you to have if you'll do that. But you can't just do it once or twice. You have to do it and do it and do it and do it and do it. I love this. 1 Peter 1:3. We are born again into an ever-living hope. And in Titus, there's a couple of scriptures that talk about the hope of eternal life. And I said this last night, but I want to say it again. You know what eternal life is? It doesn't mean I repeat a sinner's prayer and then someday I get to go to heaven, but I'm miserable all the time I'm here. Eternal life means that when we're born again, we receive eternal life. And that means that we receive life as God has life. What kind of life do you think God's got today? I bet he's happy. I bet he feels energetic. Life as God has it. And then in the Greek dictionary, it says this. It is the full, this eternal life, it is the full manifestation and realization of that life which is already the believer's possession. Now see, this means something to me because I'm a teacher of the word, and my whole goal is to help believers understand what is already theirs in Christ and appropriate it in their everyday life and live the life that Jesus died for them to have. I'm so glad that 4,982 people got saved last night. But you know what? That is not enough for me. I don't want you just to be saved. I want you to live saved. I want you to have the life that Jesus died to give you. Now, one of my most yummy scriptures is Zechariah 9:12. Let's put it up. Return to the stronghold of security and prosperity, you prisoners of hope. Uh-oh. Even today do I declare that I will restore double your former prosperity to you. Now we're going over the edge. Okay, now look. God promises us that if we will become prisoners of hope. You know what that means? I'm locked up in hope. I can't get away from it. I can't get out of it. Hope. 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 Everywhere I look, hope, hope, hope. When you do that, the devil does not know what to do to you. Now listen, the devil will attack us. He'll come against us. He'll come with negative thoughts and trying to tell us that But, woohoo, woohoo, he can't get to us as long as we remain prisoners of hope. Amen. You get up in the morning, the devil says, nothing good's going to happen to you today. You've already been waiting 25 years. It ain't going to change. Listen, I had migraine headaches 10 years. I don't have migraine headaches anymore. You got to keep hoping. Every day you got to say, today could be my day. I'm expecting. You know, I have no interest at all in standing up here for an hour just trying to be a cheerleader. Yes, I can drive you into an emotion of excitement while you're here. That's not what I want for you. I want you to get a principle I want you to get an understanding of something, that this is something you can take home with you. And when you know how to have this godly attitude and stay full of hope, I am telling you, there is no devil in hell that can defeat you. I don't care what's going on in your family, your finances. Yes, that doesn't mean it's not going to hurt and be hard. But when you say, God, I believe your word. I believe it. And you need to say it out loud. I believe your word. I believe your promises. And I'm going to keep believing and keep believing and keep believing and keep believing. And when you do, the God of your hope will fill you with joy and peace. Sadly, many people feel hopeless about their lives. But the Bible tells us that God is the author of hope. So as believers in Him, we can expect God's best to come out of every situation. Today I'm offering you a book, Get Your Hopes Up. Very excited about this book. I call it my happy book. And I think it's going to really help people activate their faith by being full of hope every day and expecting something good to happen to them, to their families, their friends, in the world. And not only for something good to happen to them, but for something good to happen through them. And this offer today is for your gift to the ministry of any amount. You know, I believe that one of the ways that we can increase our hope is by giving hope to others. And as you support the preaching of the gospel and you help us reach out to the poor and the needy around the world, you can be assured that God will always take care of you and meet your needs. Thank you so much. You know, I believe that being a prisoner of hope releases you from other prisons. The Apostle Paul was a prison of religion. And if you read the New Testament, Paul now says, I, a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I used to be a prisoner of negativity and doubt. I was a prison of my past. I was a prison of all the years of abuse that I had gone through. And I thought nothing good can ever happen to me. And you're just making a mistake if you expect it to, because all you're going to get is disappointed. And now I am so full of hope and just expect God to do. Every day I believe God for favor in my life. And I just wait to see how God shows up and shows out. What have you lost during all the years that you didn't know the truth of God's word? How many years have you wasted? Have you lost your identity? Do you not know who you are in Christ? You spend your time feeling guilty and condemned and depressed and discouraged and downtrodden. Have you lost your confidence? Do you know who you are in Christ? Have you lost your friends, your job, your childhood, your mind? My childhood was stolen from me. I never got to be a kid. That's tough when you don't ever get to be a kid. I don't remember ever just being a happy, carefree. I never felt safe, ever. Never. Thank you. But you know what? I'm just having so much fun now that I can hardly stand myself. I mean, I am a 69-year-old kid. Woohoo! Now, you know what? Just about the time you start to think, well, you know what? What she's saying makes sense. You start to feel just a little bit of hope starting to bubble in there, then you might as well expect it. The devil is going to attack. And he comes in a different way than he did before. Oh, I got to fight the good fight of faith, and I got to get my hope back, because if I have my hope back. Na, 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 na. Go away. I want you to go home with one of these. Amen? If you need to, make it your bathroom. And when everything that you look at looks like destruction, you just go get in that bathroom, run the water, flush the toilet so you can't hear the kids, and say, I believe that God is going to do something amazing in my life. Isaiah 61:7. This message this morning is not complicated. I've gone over it 4 or 5 times, and I thought, well, is this deep enough? Let me tell you something. This is deep as I'm going this morning. Get a good attitude. Have some positive thoughts. Say something good. If you leave this meeting today and you go to lunch with a bunch of people and you sit there and do nothing but talk about your problems the whole time you're at lunch, I mean, I want you talking about, there is no telling what God is going to do in my life. I tell you what, I'm going to be a prisoner of hope, and I'm going to get double my trouble. Amen? Isaiah 61:7. Oh, my gosh, this kept me going for years when I just had so much pain in my soul trying to get over the abuse that I went through, trying to learn how to be a submissive wife, trying to learn how to be nice. Oh, my gosh. And I'd go back to Isaiah 61:7. Instead of your farmer's shame, you shall have a twofold recompense. That means reward. Instead of dishonor and reproach, your people shall rejoice in their portion. Now watch this. It doesn't say, and when they finally go to heaven, they'll be blessed. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. What they forfeited and everlasting joy. I know some of you have been sad. Some of you came to this conference saying, God, I got to have a breakthrough. You got to speak something to me. I need a word. This is your word. I'm telling you that every person can take this. This is your word from God. And anybody else that ever comes to you that needs help, this can be their word from God. There is nothing negative about our God. Everything He says is hopeful. It's full of faith. It's full of confidence. You are not the tail end of anything. It's not too late for you. God's got a good plan for your life, and it's never too late to begin again. Double. See, you just don't understand, and there's no way that I could ever make you understand what God has done for me. And you say, well, that must be nice for you. Well, see, that's just that attitude I'm trying to get rid of right there. That's it right there. We just hit it on the head. Well, that must be nice for you. I'm glad that you're so blessed. Caught you, didn't I? No, you know what you need to say? If God will do it for one person, He'll do it for me. I'm a whosoever. And God is no respecter of persons. When you see somebody else with victory, don't be resentful and jealous. Let it be an encouragement to you that if God can do it for them, God can do it for you. I don't even know how to talk about the changes in my life. But everything that I'm telling you guys that you need to do by the grace and the mercy of God, I had to do it. I didn't just get it sitting around wishing. You have to fight the good fight of faith. In Job 42:10, we see that God restored double to Job everything that he had lost when he prayed for his friends and forgave them. Now, let me just say something quite serious to you right now. Don't expect any of this if you're going to stay mad at people. Did you hear what I said? I'm going to say it again. Don't expect this stuff to work in your life if you're going to have bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness, offense, and be mad at people. And the sad thing is, I've ministered to people long enough to know that from what I can tell, about 80% of all Christians are mad. It's the truth. I've never been anywhere, never been to any church, never had any meeting where I have ever taught on unforgiveness or strife or any of that stuff, asked people to stand up the end so I could pray for them if they needed to forgive somebody. I've never had less than 70 to 80% of the whole congregation get on their feet. The first thing that God does for us is forgive us. And what God gives you, He expects you to give away. Don't give the devil your inheritance by staying mad at somebody that did something to you that doesn't even care if you're upset and they're out having a good time. You can do yourself a favor today. You can put this double blessing in action in your life by saying, I am not going to stay mad at anybody. It is not to my benefit to stay mad at anybody, and I want to see God's plan. I forgive, I forgive, I forgive, I release it, I let it go. You say, but it's not fair. But if you do it, double, 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 double. How many of you understand clearly what I'm saying? This is not going to work for you if you're going to stay mad at somebody. Do you have that? It is not going to work for you if you're going to stay mad at somebody. And while I'm at it, let me just throw this out there. That includes you. You got to get over being mad at you.
Well, I don't like myself.
Why don't you just get busy being you? You can't be somebody else. Everybody else is already taken. You're it. You're stuck with you. Let's just make the best out of it. Amen? The way out of any prison, the way out of any prison is to become a prisoner of hope. I love that. Jesus said He came to open prison doors. The door's open. You got to walk out. And the way out of any prison is to become a prisoner of hope. To get in here and say, something good is going to happen to me. Woo-hoo. I'm expecting. I'm like a pregnant woman that's about 25 years overdue. I tell you what, I'm expecting. Today may be my day. I'm going to deliver today. I'm going to give birth today. I can't wait to see what good thing God does in my life. Amen. Don't you like my little jail cell? I think that's so cute. Full of these little flowers. Double blessings don't come to the double-minded. Ooh. Ooh. I'm going to write a new book. Won't get around to this one for a couple of years, but what do you think of this? For a book title. Make Your Mind Up and Stop Changing It. Now it's mine, so don't anybody else get the bright idea that you're going to steal it. Make your mind up and stop changing it. You know, you agree with what I'm saying. You're like, this is it. This is it. I got to change my attitude. I got to get positive. I got to start talking positive. I got to agree with God. That's it. Prison of hope. That's what I need. And then when you go home and the kids didn't clean the house like you told them to, and your husband's still in the recliner, didn't clean out the garage you told him to clean out, nobody did anything you asked him to do, the house a mess, you walk in, they wonder, what are you going to cook for dinner? Now, you're about to change your mind. You're about to get a new mindset. This stuff, man, that don't work for me. Nobody can live here and have any kind of an attitude of hope. No, the double-minded don't get the double blessing. It's easy to have this work in here. It's when you go home that you're going to have to apply this. Come on, folks, you got to go home. I'm sorry to tell you, but you got to go home. You know, the people that Jesus touched, a lot of them said, oh, let me just follow you and I'll just be with you now. And he said, go home and show them what a great thing I've done in your life. You got to go home and show people that you've changed. Don't just take them the CDs. Go home and show them that you've changed. The double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Do not let that man even think that he will receive anything that he asks for from the Lord. I love Colossians 3:1. Set your mind and keep it set. Make your mind up that God is good, that he's got a good plan for you, and that you're going to have it. Everybody say, God is good. He's got a good plan for me. Now this part you got to say really loud. And I'm going to have it. Now remember, you can't do it just on the good days. You got to do it especially. This is especially important on the not so good days. Can't just do it when you feel like it. You have to do it especially when you don't feel like it. Amen.
Would you like to know more about who Joyce Meyer Ministries is and what we're all about? Well, these beautiful smiling faces say it all. We are all about sharing Christ, letting people know how much he loves them, and helping people all over the world, like these two beautiful sisters here in India, and they understand the love of Christ. So who's Joyce Meyer Ministries? It is you, helping people and sharing Christ every day.
I like what Catherine Marshall said. She said, God is the only one who can make the valley of trouble a door of hope. You know, maybe today is a day where it's easy for you to have hope, and maybe it's a day where it's not so easy for you to have hope. But the good news is that you can be hopeful on purpose. Today, Ginger and I want to address some of your questions about this awesome subject. Ginger.
Thanks for letting us ask, Joyce, because there's some really good questions here. I think what you said is a very important key, because a lot of times we think that hope is something that we have or we don't have.
We have to wait for it to come. Well, I wish I was hopeful, you know.
Yeah. So the first question asks, what is the difference between hope and faith?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think that they're very closely linked, but I believe that you can't have faith if you don't have hope, because hope is the expectation that something good is going to happen. Mm-hmm. So how can I say that I'm trusting God to change my situation, or I'm trusting God for a breakthrough, or I'm trusting God for a healing, or to help my child get off of drugs or whatever, if my thinking is not hopeful? So I think a lot of times people will pray and ask God to do something, but then all their thoughts and attitude about that thing that they're asking God to change are all down and discouraged and depressed. And so we need to be hopeful first. I look at faith like the water in the swimming pool and hope like the diving board. Hmm. It's like if I want to really live in faith, then I have to first be full of hope. You can get up every day, and I still do this every day once God showed me this. I'm expecting something good to happen to me and through me today. I don't want to just have hope for me, but I want to also have hope for other people that God can make their lives better through me.
Right. Well, more of these questions, kind of understanding more about how hope works. This comes from Heather in Texas, and she says, what is the best way to fight against losing hope due to it being deferred? And hope deferred is something that the Bible talks about, but what exactly does that mean?
Well, hope deferred makes the heart sick, means that if we put off hoping. So if I can put it off, then that means that I can also activate it and get it active in my life. And really, literally, anybody, if you can just understand that hope is, it's a powerful force, but it has to do with our thoughts and our attitudes about the way that we decide to look at life or to look at anything that's happened to us in our life. There's a great scripture in Zechariah that I just love, 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 and it says, if you will become a prisoner of hope,
then God will restore double to you everything that you have lost.
Yeah.
Well, if you think about that, what a prisoner is somebody who's locked up. They can't get out. They can't get away from their jail cell. So if I am so determined to hope and to put my hope in God and to believe that no matter what other circumstance I have, that God is greater than that, and I just am a prisoner of hope, I can't get away from hope, I have to have hope, I'm going to have a miserable day without hope, then I can decide any day to believe something good's going to happen to me today. And then, of course, you know, the obvious question might be, well, what if it doesn't? Well, then tomorrow I'm going to believe that something good is going to happen to me today. And the next day and the next day and the next day until we literally just run the devil off and he gives up.
That's a wonderful thought.
Yeah.
And being a prisoner of hope makes it something stronger, something larger than whether we're an optimist or a pessimist. It's not just about our mood today. It's much bigger than that, because God is providing that hope and not just how we feel.
Well, and I know personally that what I'm talking about works, because I had a wretched beginning in life, sexually abused by my dad. My mother didn't know how to deal with the situation, so she just knew it was going on, didn't do anything about it. Married the first guy that came along, that ended in divorce. I mean, I could just tell you all my woes here for a long, long time. But I was very negative and very hopeless. I had had so many bad things happen to me that I literally developed this attitude. If you don't expect anything good to happen, then you won't be disappointed when it doesn't. And I don't know that anybody could get in much worse condition than that. You know, God couldn't really do anything for me because I wasn't believing. You know, and a lot of people say they're trusting God, but we're not really trusting God if we have all kinds of negative thoughts. And people think, well, I can't help what I think, and I can't help my attitude, and I wish I had hope. But that's the thing we have to understand, is we do have authority in our lives, and we can do our own thinking. And we, instead of being passive and just wishing for things, we have to say, I am not going to let the devil steal everything from me that Jesus died to give me. I believe that something good is going to happen in my life.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some of those specific situations that people are dealing with.
Okay.
This one says, this is from Sao Paulo, Brazil. Bruna says, I believe that God made a promise to me 2 years ago about my future husband, and he has confirmed it since then. But I pray about the situation and nothing happens lately. I'm feeling hopeless. What do I do?
You keep believing. Hmm. You know, when God gives us a promise, he rarely ever, if ever, tells us exactly on what day the fulfillment of that is going to arrive. And so God is not slow in reality, but he's slow sometimes the way we look at fast,
right,
and slow. And so if you really think about it, David was anointed to be king, but he didn't wear the crown for 20 years. Abraham was told that he was going to have his own child, but he didn't have that child for almost 20 years. Joseph had a dream where he was doing great things, and the very next thing that happened was his brothers sold him to slave traders, and he ended up in prison for, I think it was 13 years for something he didn't do. And we could just go through thing after thing after thing. You know, even the Apostle Paul, when he was called to preach the gospel, he went away for 14 years, and there's no real talk about what he was doing. He was ministering, but he wasn't really doing the thing that God had called him to do. And so we just have to realize that if what we believe God told us is in fact what he told us, then it will come to pass, and it will come to pass his way and in his time. And yes, it's difficult to not stop hoping,
yeah,
whenever you're not getting your breakthrough. Of course it's difficult, but every day I have a choice to make. And trust me, if I can make the choice to be hopeful, anybody can. Because like I said, I was so negative that if I thought two positive thoughts in a row, my brain got in a cramp. It was just like I didn't even know what positive was.
Yeah.
So be hopeful on purpose.
Yeah. Well, let's do one more question here, because I think this relates to so many people who've lost something important to them. Kayla from Michigan says, I've lost my mom and my life is hopeless. How do I move on from this?
Well, I think, you know, first of all, I understand that loss of any kind is it's terrible, because it involves the pain in our emotions. But God promises to be everything to us. And the Bible says, even if our mother and father have abandoned us, God will take us up and adopt us as his own child. So God can be her mother, her father, her sister, her brother, her best friend, anything that she needs. You know, I never really had a mom and a dad. I mean, I had one in name, but not in reality. And even though I took care of both of them until they were, my dad was about 86 when he died, and my mom was going to be 90 in about a week when she passed away. And I did my duty before God, and I did it with joy in my heart, but I never really felt that I had parents. I was more like the parent, mm-hmm. and they were the children. But although I didn't like it, and I can't say that there weren't days when it was tough, I had a great relationship with God, and I have a great relationship with God. And I just want to encourage her to understand that God understands her loss, and he is the God of all comfort, and he will comfort her in that loss. But God is our hope. He is the God of all hope, the God of all healing, the God of all comfort. And so she needs to be careful about her thinking that she can't make it without her mom, or I don't know what I'm going to do without my mom. Because honestly and truly, we can do anything as long as God is on our side.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Joyce, because hope changes everything.
It does. It's a powerful thing. The power of hope is so awesome.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, today we're offering you our Get Your Hopes Up book, a book that I'm really excited about. I've written over 100 books, and I'm calling this my happy book. I believe that anybody who really reads this book and takes in the messages that are in it, that you will not only have an increase in joy while you read it, but you will learn how you can have an increase in joy every day of your life. And we're offering this book to you for your gift to the ministry of any amount. We trust you to do your very best. We want everybody to be able to have it. So this is a way that you can get some happiness and some hope. And my gosh, surely you know somebody else. If you don't feel like you need it, surely you know somebody that does, because the world is full of hopeless people. So please take advantage of this offer right away and get your book and be a blessing to others through your gift to the ministry.